Sunday to a preacher's fellowship at a Bible conference that night, and I know I'm going to be asked to preach to the preachers. And I'm going to be preaching this message in a different, a little bit different way, if you would, to be an encouragement to the men of God that are there. But tonight I want to use this message to be a help and an encouragement to you, because if there's one thing that we all need to learn to do, and that's rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll see here Philippians chapter 3, read down through verse 11, and I'm going to do my best tonight to be brief because of Missions Prayer Band. But the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." And so let's pray tonight and just ask God to speak to us and to meet with us tonight. Father God, I thank you for the privilege to preach your word. And Lord, your word doesn't need me. Lord, it stands on its own. It's forever settled in heaven. But I pray that you'd use me to be your mouthpiece tonight. You laid this message on my heart. I pray that the word of God would accomplish its purpose in my heart and in each of our hearts here tonight. Lord, I pray that our time would not be in vain. Lord, but please just speak to us in a special way. Help us to draw nigh, Lord God, to you, and we know that you'll draw nigh to us. But thank you, Lord God, that you give us the privilege to know you, to get to know you in an intimate way, Lord God. And Lord, I thank you that you are all in all. Father, just please encourage our hearts, meet with the many needs, Lord, as only you can, and save those that are lost. We pray in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ came to give us life, but life more abundantly. And when you think of the Christian life, it's something that God wants us to enjoy. Amen. And he wants us to not just, to wait for heaven. Amen. Which I'm looking forward to heaven, but he wants us to experience a little bit of heaven on this side, I do believe. Amen. Even though we're in a sin-cursed world and a wicked world. Amen. If we can rejoice, as we see in the scriptures, amen, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God is the joy giver, and we know that Satan is the one that wants to rob and steal and kill, squash out our joy. And so tonight, I know there's many Christians that have the joy of the Lord, and there's many Christians that do not have the joy of the Lord. And you say, well, how can you tell? If you see a Christian that's walking around and they've got a smile on their face, a little spring in their step, amen, a song in their heart, you can usually tell, amen, their joy is full, it's overflowing. See someone grumbling and complaining and just, walking around with a mean disposition and a bad spirit all the time, their joy is probably just about empty. But God wants us to have, amen, fullness of joy. So tonight I want you to see, as Paul's going to finally get to, amen, if you will, the very first word of chapter 3 is finally. He's finally going to get to his point for the Philippians. And the whole theme, if you think about it, in Philippians, and you could write this down in your Bible if you take little notes, and you could put Philippians is all about rejoicing. It's all about rejoicing. And I want you to see here tonight our focus. And really, as I prepare to preach to these preachers, you think about it, verse 8, Paul's one focus was Christ. He said that I may win Christ. He wanted to win. He didn't want to lose. Amen. He wanted to apprehend the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see our focus in verse 1. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." And you see this here, amen, our focus needs to be on the Lord. We need to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had already used the word rejoice 7 times in the first 2 chapters. 7 times. And now he uses this here in chapter 3. Now, Paul uses a form of the word rejoice 12 times and the word joy 6 times in the entire book. So that's where you get the idea. He wants a Christian, he wants this church, if you will, he wants us to have joy in our lives. Now, no doubt, Paul was a man that had, amen, joy in his life, and he desired that the Philippians would have the same. So he encourages them to be joyful Christians, but you see that joy is connected to whom? The Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Say that with me tonight. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. So it's connected. Joy is connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. True joy, lasting joy, can only come from the Lord. And you think about this, there's a lot of things the devil tries to imitate and emulate. But listen, he's always a counterfeit. And true joy only comes from the Lord. Now, rejoicing in the Lord is so much more than rejoicing and just thanking God for what he's given you. Rejoicing in the Lord is really just, you know, when you think about it, having joy and rejoicing in who he is. Amen, that God is love. Amen, God is merciful. God is gracious. God is kind. He's long-suffering, patient. God is salvation. And just so many things. The list could go on and on because we could never exhaust, amen, the riches of Christ Jesus. But I think about this. Hold your place and just quickly, we're going to turn back to Psalm 16. Psalm 16 tonight. And look at one verse here before we move up to John. But he says, rejoice in the Lord. And that's what our focus needs to be on, is the Lord. It's easy when we get our eyes off the Lord to find a lot of things not to rejoice about. Amen? Listen, there's always going to be something that's going to go sideways. At least it seems that way. But listen, we can have, amen, a focus on the Lord. We can have joy. But right here in verse 11 of Psalm 16, the psalmist says this. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Now get this. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So in God's very presence, as we spend time with him, there's not just joy, but there's fullness of joy. If you will, it's like bubbling over. It's overflowing. There's fullness of joy. I was thinking about this today, you know, when it comes to different things. And my boys, usually they, and I guess we're all this way, we fight over some of the stupidest things. You know, mom pours the pop or mom gets the sweet tea ready for dinner. And what are each of them doing, looking which glass is the fullest, right? Some of them going, well, I'm getting this one. Just like the plate, my boys are like that. Well, this one's got more. You know, whatever. I'm telling you what, man. But the thing is, listen, when you think about something, listen, if something's half full, it's not full. Even it gets up there, listen, I mean, listen, it's not full until it's at the tippy top, and then you got to be careful because what? It's ready to just spill over. That's being full. John 15, I want to bear this point out about fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and he is encouraging these Philippians to rejoice in the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord. John 15 is a beautiful chapter. And I want to bear some things out here just quickly and try and move on tonight. But John 15, look at verse 11. Jesus here is speaking. Some of you have a red letter edition, the words of Jesus Christ being in red. But he says here, these things, what things? The things in the previous 10 verses. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be what? Full. God wants your joy to be full, and he tells us how to have that fullness of joy. And once again, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. But in this chapter here, the things that he's spoken, amen, is a beautiful thing. He says that my joy might remain in you. Amen, that means it could be lost, that joy. Amen. And you think about it, you go to John 17. I'm not going to preach that tonight, but you see some things that give Jesus Christ, the Son of God, great joy, and the things that give God the Father great joy in his prayer. But then he goes on to say that your joy might be full. He didn't say that it might be empty, that it might be, you know, half full, whatever. He said that it might be full. And you think about this, and part of that comes from abiding in Jesus Christ. Amen. This whole verse is all about abiding in the true vine, Jesus Christ. Amen. Because we are the branches. But you see some of the things. The folks, amen, tonight, listen, that don't have a lot of joy. The Christians that don't have a lot of joy could be because, amen, they're not clean. Look at verse 3. If we're abiding in the Lord, he says, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken to you. And the word of God has a cleansing and purifying effect on a believer's life. It renews the mind. It helps purify the heart in a sense, if you will. The washing of the water of the word. And listen, if you've run to a Christian, amen, that doesn't have a lot of joy in his life, it could be because he is unclean. And they're not abiding in Jesus Christ. Sin has that. Listen, sin will rob your joy. It will. It'll kill it faster than anything. And then you see abiding, amen, makes us fruitful. And can I say this as well? Amen. He's talking about these things so that your joy might be full. And listen, if we're not abiding in Christ, we're going to be unfruitful. We may not be unclean, but let me tell you what, we may be unfruitful. And God does not want us to be unfruitful. He wants us to learn to maintain good works, as it says, for necessary uses. And we need to let God, Philippians 2:2, work in and through us, both to will and do of his good pleasure. Amen. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to produce that fruit in us and through us. He that winneth souls is wise. And so I wonder if we don't have any joy because it's all about us and it's not about, amen, being fruitful and reaching others. I think about these other things, just with a lack of joy. I wonder if you say, my joy, there's a leak in my joy somewhere. How many of you enjoy answered prayer? If we're not abiding in Jesus Christ, look at this. Go down in verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. That's answered prayer. A lot of Christians aren't happy tonight. There's a lack of joy in their life because, amen, their prayers aren't being answered. And you see a lot of things here, and it goes on and on and on, amen. And let me just say this. It talks about obedience, amen, as well in this right here. And so there's a lot of reasons that Christians are missing out on the joy of the Lord. Why is the joy of the Lord important to a believer? Because Nehemiah says the joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. That's right. And so we just go moping around, grumbling, complaining. Amen. Nothing's ever good, you know, just bad, bad, bad. And the joy's missing. Why? Because we're not spending time in the presence of the Lord, because we're not abiding in Christ. We need to rejoice in the Lord. Spurgeon said this, when the heart is full of joy, it always allows the joy to escape. It is like a fountain in the marketplace. Whenever it is full, it runs away in streams. And so soon as it ceases to overflow, you may be quite sure that it has ceased to be full. The only full heart is the overflowing heart. And so you can tell, you know, many times someone that has that joy. I mean, be honest. How many of you tonight know a Christian that's full of joy? Be honest. Raise your hand. I could tell you right now, I could count. I mean, now I know that they don't always have good days and there's bad days, but I could count so many different folks that I've known since I've been saved that I could tell you what, the joy of the Lord's all over that person. We need to rejoice in the Lord. That needs to be our focus, the Lord. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Then we need to remember the lessons as well. He says right here in verse 1, he says, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Now, Paul's writing the same things to them. And you think about this. He's giving them a simple reminder. And I think about this tonight because their safety actually depended upon them, if you will, hearing and acting upon what he's telling them. And he was like reiterating things over and over again. And I'm not saying he was a broken record, amen. But the thing is, sometimes we tune things out when we hear them multiple times. And he's saying right here, he's saying, listen, I'm writing the same things to you. Listen, it's not grievous for me to do that, but for you it is safe. He was thinking about their well-being, their safety, if you will. Now, we've got to guard against that attitude as believers that you know, that attitude. I've heard it all before. Now, listen, how many of you get tired of a good old hamburger? I said a good old hamburger. Amen. I mean, we go back. There's certain things we crave, and although we've had it time and time again, there's some things we just go back to, right? Some of you got a favorite restaurant. Some of you got a favorite old sweatshirt that you like to put on. It's just your favorite one. It keeps you cozy and warm. Some of you like to go back to a familiar store time and time again. We delight in those things, but why do we not delight? We've got to guard ourselves against that, saying, listen, I've heard it before. Those things are safe. We need those reminders. You say, why? Because we're apt to forget. We're forgetful people many times. Psalm, if you would, just quickly go over Psalms. Psalm 106. So he's reminding them, if you will, of a certain lesson, the things that he has taught. Psalm 106, referring to the children of Israel as they come out of Egypt. And this is right after God delivered the Egyptians. Delivered them from the Egyptians. When I say that, he drowned them all in the depths of the sea, if you will. And look, if you will, right here. It says in verse 11, you'll get the context, and the waters covered their enemies, and there was not one of them left. Then believed they his word. They sang his praise. You remember right there, right when they got on the other shore, they just had a praise meeting. Just a Thanksgiving, a time of Thanksgiving. And you see here, right here, they sang his praise. But look at verse 13. They soon forgot his works, and they waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And it goes on, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. And by the way, be careful what you ask for. Thank God he doesn't always give us that, but sometimes he'll give you what you ask for. But the thing is, you see here how soon we could forget the goodness of God and just what he's done for us. And so he's trying to reiterate these things and put them into remembrance, much like Peter says, although you already know these things. He said, I just want to remind you, be careful, watch out. So you see our focus, but then I want you to see tonight the fight in verses 2 through 6. Listen, we're in a spiritual war. We're in a battle. One of the things, I'm going to talk to the pastors about, we know in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that we are to endure hardness as good soldiers. We're soldiers, whether you like it or not. And listen, but most of the time, listen, God doesn't command us to fight. He just commands us to stand. And he does all the fighting. But you think about this, we're in a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual darkness and all those things it says in Ephesians chapter 6. And we have an enemy, but he's trying to tell them here to watch out, if you will. He's giving them a warning against false teachers. Look at verse 2. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. He's telling them, listen, watch out, be cautious, if you will. And let me just say, we are living in the last days. You can never be too careful. You need to get in the book and allow the book to get into you. And the best thing to do is just read your Bible and read your Bible and read your Bible and read your Bible and read your Bible some more, because you'll know what is true, because God's word is true. And then it'll be a lot easier to spot error, because there's many false prophets today. 1 John 4:1, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And you think about it, if they're saying this in the first century, can you imagine how it is today? I mean, it's just a lot more of it, and even, it's probably even more twisted and wicked than ever before. So we've got to be cautious. We're to be constantly on guard. But when it came to defending the truth, Paul never minced his words. He plainly would expose false doctrine and error, and he would encourage Christians to avoid that false doctrine. Now, Vance Havner, a preacher, said this: the early Christians condemned false doctrine in such a way that sounds almost unchristian-like today. I mean, they would just expose it. They would call it out as wickedness. And listen, there's a lot of that going on today. And I won't take time to get into that, but, personally, I refer to cults as anybody that does not preach the scriptural way of salvation. You say, what is that? Salvation by grace through faith and the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's not of works, right? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. So if someone's preaching Christ and good works, that's not scriptural salvation. They're a cult. And so there's a lot of different names. I'm not going to get into that tonight, but I just want to encourage you. We need to be on guard. False teachers are like wild dogs. He said, beware of dogs. They carry disease. Wild dogs do. They travel in packs. They're a nuisance, and many times they can even kill. We've all heard, I don't know if you've heard in the news, once in a while you'll hear attacks how wild dogs get a hold of a child or a person and try to tear them apart. And he said, you need to beware of the dogs, if you will, these false teachers. And although these false teachers think they're doing good, in reality they're not, because they're preaching another gospel. And if any man preach another gospel, Galatians 1:9, the Bible says, let him be accursed. And so listen, the Bible is true. We've got to stick to the Word of God. Now the word concision, you see there, beware of the concision. That's referring to the Judaizers, the religious crowd, that was, of course, trying to draw them back into bondage through keeping of the law and all those things. And so we know, of course, someone is not saved by keeping the law. How many of you know we can never keep the law? It's impossible. So he's warning them against the false teachers. But then one of the biggest things as Christians we've got to watch out for is the flesh. And so he warns them against the flesh. And look at this. He says, for we are the circumcision. Now that's referring to true believers. Today we're not saved. He's talking to many of these converted Jews. Okay? And of course, Jews believed in the Abrahamic covenant, and that involved circumcision. And he's saying, listen, he's the circumcision. We are the circumcision. He's talking to the church. He's talking to those that are saved not by ritual, not by doing this or doing that, but those who have a genuine faith in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of verses there. Write down, I won't take time to go just for sake of time, but Colossians 2, verses 11 through 14, Romans 2, 29. Of course, he's talking about the circumcision of the heart, which is not made with hands. That's that circumcision. We trust Christ by faith that, listen, he goes in and he does a spiritual surgery on our hearts, doesn't he? And he takes away, amen, what's not needed, amen, and creates in us a clean heart. And so that's what he's talking about. And true believers worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And look at this, and have no confidence, what? In the flesh. You see, we've got to be so careful, because our flesh, it likes to boast. Our flesh, we like to do things, and be honest, I mean, I'm right there with you in the same boat. Many times we like to do things in the flesh. But how many know the flesh lusteth against the Spirit? The Spirit against the flesh. I mean, it's always a battle, it's always a fight, but he's trying to get the point across here, amen, in this fight here. And he even uses, amen, hypothetically. You look at verses 4 through 6, it's like he's boasting. But he's trying to get the point to these that were boasting and placing confidence in their flesh. He's trying to say, listen, I've been there, I've done that. I was even way up here. Amen, way up here, if you will. And this just gives us a glimpse. And let me just say this. As believers, we've got to be so careful not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I just want to remind you, amen, not to place confidence in your flesh. Because as we stand before God someday, I want you to know no flesh is going to glory in his presence. No flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm almost there here. 1 Corinthians, it says right here, look at this. It says in verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Here it is, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So when God placed his calling on your life and God chose you, it wasn't because you were wise. It wasn't because you were strong. It wasn't because of your nobility or any other thing. God chose you, amen. So listen, he could, transform your life, and so your life could be such a drastic change, amen, to have such a drastic difference, so that Christ could be seen in three and be a testimony to this lost and dying world. You know, the foolishness of this world is just, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. But it's just amazing. But we got to be careful, because our flesh likes to boast. And the only thing that we need to boast in is the Lord Jesus Christ. Quickly, I want to give you just one more thing here. I want you to see our faith. Our faith. Now, we know our salvation doesn't depend upon religion. It doesn't depend upon your nationality, your race, where you are, you know, your rank, or anything like that. Look at verse 9 just quickly. As Paul says, listen, I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And we know, of course, if we've offended in one point when it comes to the law, we're guilty of all. No flesh, once again, is going to glory in the Lord's presence. And it says in Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And so we see that, and Paul's trying to explain this to the Philippians just once again, because the Judaizers were coming in trying to get them to come back to Judaism, if you will, and bring them again into bondage, amen, away from the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, listen, I don't want my own righteousness. And we're talking of someone, I mean, in the world's eyes, who was like rose to the top like the cream does. He was up there and esteemed in the world's eyes. I mean, you think about it. But he says, listen, I want the righteousness of Christ, and that's only through faith of Christ, amen. And when you think about that tonight, and I say this tonight, amen, our righteousnesses we know are as filthy rags. And so I want to encourage you tonight. You say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm trying to do this. No, no, you got it all wrong. Listen, we don't do anything in order to get saved except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the work is already done. Amen. He cried, it is finished. Amen. All we've got to do is trust in him by faith. Now, faith is simply believing. Amen. And so you think about this. He's done all the work, and he's still doing the work today. Amen. He does the saving. He does the keeping. And we know there's salvation and no other except the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to our faith, I want to give you a couple things here tonight. It needs to be genuine. Faith, amen, in Jesus Christ is how we establish a relationship with God. Amen, through his Son. We have peace. We're justified, amen, by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5. And listen, it's not about religion. Doing this and doing that. And a lot of people today have religion without a relationship. The two are completely different. If you're going to be saved, you've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There must be a time where you've been born again, born from above, born anew into God's family, and that's a moment when you realize you're a sinner, you are lost and on your way to hell, Jesus paid your price, and Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you'll call upon the Lord with all your heart, you can be saved, and there's a day you did that. Now, you must have the righteousness of Christ, and I won't take time to go there, but our faith needs to be genuine, and you think about it, it needs to be unfeigned, it needs to be sincere. But then what I see about this, though, when it comes to our faith, and I won't take time to go through it, but we need to surrender. Now, when we get saved, we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of you know, how he imparts his life to us. You know, the accounts are switched, imputed, if you will, and all those things. But listen, there's got to come a time in your life and mine, like Paul, where our one focus in life, this one thing we do, is striving for the Lord, that I may win, Christ, that I may win Christ. We got to surrender in order to do that. There's a lot of folks that get saved, but they never surrender. Amen? They never just, we sing that song, all to Jesus, what? I surrender. But, if we sang that truthfully in many churches, and God help us, my life, your life, is it true? All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely. Look what Paul says in verse 7. But what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. I mean, he was probably, you think about it, probably money, position, prestige, all these things. And he was willing to give it all up for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And I know a lot of times folks just aren't willing to give certain things up, but listen, you've got to count the cost. You're never going to be happy unless you surrender and you sell out to the Lord. I think about it. We could trust God with our soul, right? When you come to him for salvation, you're saying, God, I want to be saved. And listen, you're trusting God with your soul. But why won't we trust God with anything else? Amen? Listen, the Lord can do more with your life than you ever could. Trust him. Step out by faith. And listen, count the cost. I guarantee you, you'll end up with more. And it's not about things and gaining. But listen, when you sell out and surrender to the Lord, you're going to come out smelling like a rose. Amen? So we need to surrender. And then I want you to see we need to grow. Let me just stop here, and I've got a few minutes, and we're going to take a few minutes of prayer. Look at verses 10 and 11. He said, our faith needs to be growing. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Let me just hit a few highlights here. Paul said that I may know him. He wanted to know God in a more intimate way. Let me just say this. There's a lot of people that say they know the Lord, but God doesn't know them. There's a lot of folks that say they know the Lord, but, I mean, it's very superficial. How many of you know, to get to know somebody, you got to spend time with them? Amen. And I think about this in a more intimate sense, because, amen, Paul just said he really wanted to know the Lord. I mean, as much as we possibly can with this limited mind and our limited resources, but he really wanted to know the Lord in a greater way. And I just want to challenge you, do you want to know the Lord? Because a lot of the times how we become intimate with the Lord and we really get to know who God is and his great faithfulness to us, as we're going to see, is through times of trial and times of suffering and other things, because he talks about that. And so he says in the power of his resurrection. I won't take time to go there, but Romans 6:4, Romans 8:11, this is talking about newness of life. I mean, the power of the resurrection, the new life in Christ. How we're being raised to walk, Romans chapter 6, in newness of life. That's not relying on our own strength or our own power, but upon his. And many times that power of the new life, of course, comes through the Spirit of God, but it also comes through prayer, because no prayer, no power. But then he talks about the fellowship of his sufferings. That's his problems. You know, and one of the greatest ways that, and it sounds strange, and I'm going to really try and bear this out with the preachers on Monday, should the Lord allow me to, but one of the greatest ways and one of the greatest comforts to me as a preacher, amen, is that I'm able to identify with the Lord, amen, because he allows us to go through some of the things, same things that he already went through. Now, you think about this, his sufferings, I mean, there's not a thing that we're going to go through that he hasn't already gone through. And his grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness. And I think about this, 2 Timothy 1:8, once again, 2 Timothy 2:3, how we're to endure hardness. Whoever said the Christian life was going to be easy? If they told you that, they're lying. But God promised to be with us. I'll be with him always. Even at the end of the world, amen. And he promised to go with us. He promised to give us grace. He promised to give us a way of escape when the temptation came and all these different things. So he's there, but we can identify with him through his suffering. But then you see, amen, as it says there, and I don't, let me look back at this here because I don't have my Bible turned to the right place. But look at this as it says, being made conformable unto his death. And that's the pattern. You think about Christ's death and you think about his humility and his submission, his obedience to his Father. And we are to have, if you will, have the same form. We are to be like, conformable to his death. That, listen, it's not about our will, but it's about his. And you learn a lot when you read about the utterances of Christ on the cross, how he was, you know, he was thinking about his mother, caring for her. He thirsted. He said, I thirst. He said, you know, of course, he said, it is finished. All he cared about was finishing the work that his Father gave him to do. He always did those things that please his Father. And even, Father, forgive them. We learn about all those things. And listen, there's all these things we cannot do, and we cannot finish the work of the Lord that God has given us to do. We cannot, amen, forgive others, amen, that are our enemies or whatever the case may be, unless we die to self. And so there's a lot of things here. But I just want to encourage you tonight in this text, we're to rejoice in the Lord. Don't let the devil rob your joy. And if there's a leak in your joy somewhere, you need to find out if you're abiding in Christ, if you're spending time in his presence, because I guarantee you that's where the problem lies. And I won't take time to go back over that, but then you think about Paul's one great desire. You go on, you read that, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth in those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He had one thing on his mind. You know what that was? That he would win Christ. So that's what his faith was all about. And I wonder tonight if that'll be, if you will, the one thing that we'll strive after, amen, this week and in the days ahead. Amen. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Maybe God spoke to you about your joy. Maybe God spoke to you about your faith. Maybe you need to be a little more cautious when it comes to spiritual things, because there's many false prophets out there. I don't know. God, I'm sure, spoke to many a heart. But listen, these are some encouraging verses. But listen, I wonder tonight, for every believer that's here, don't you want to get to know him? I mean, in a more intimate way, deeper than you do now. Amen. And sometimes we really draw close to him and realize our true need and his great faithfulness during those times of suffering, the fellowship of his sufferings. But listen, I'm glad that he's there to sustain us. His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen, let's tonight go to the Lord. Let's ask him to give us that joy, fullness of joy. And let's ask him to help us to keep our eyes fixed on him and strive after him. The piano's going to play. Father, bless this invitation now. For your glory, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to invite you to